it is again a privilege after being given by the Lord this day, this hour, and this minute, as well as this second, to worship Christ and Him crucified alone without compromise. What a comfort. Scripture reading will come from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Had God called the light day, and the darkness He called night? And the evening and the morning were the first day. 6. And God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, as the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose is in itself under the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. 14. And God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for rights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the less light to rule the night. He made the stars also. 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and four that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great quarrels in every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every wind fall after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth with waters in the seas, and let fall multiply in the east." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The fourth. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the air, of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created he him, male and female, he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the earth of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. The last verse, 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herbal bearing seed which is upon the earth, the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. What a comfort, a good reading about the creation of the earth, about the light that separates the night and the day. Habara wa sungu tandisa ni nyumbo emozi. Mungu imba nyumbo emozi. Abusa wa sungu bine.
Kie nilitegule mabuku wa nyumbo. Kutoge la nyumbo namba 3. Kutene uli Yesu mundi sungu bantanda. Kumwe mchinge ugwe la odili sahati.
Yesu mundi sungu tu. Bama kuni ikanda Tome mpinde uwe amu Ipa utanda Utanda Jisita mandi Baba moyo kumba Usei basi Bandanda moyo wanda Wabeza jifundo Poweza Muntanda, di zita, man. seri wanti.
Yes, near the cross, a trembling soul. Love and mercy found me near the blight and the morning star shed its beams around me. Brother John leads in our local dialect, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through
29. Pachirambe mulungu, adalingo kumwamba ni ziko la panzi. Ziko la panzi, ndipo jinaliro panda panga. Mdimu, unali pamwamba panyanja. Kwa mzimu wa mulungu, unali mkufunga jira, pamwamba pamwamba. Ipo anali mulungu, yeye, ndipo kuna hivyo. Let's go. Ndipo anawona mulungu kuti, kuyela kwa nalikuwa kuyina. Kwa mulungu, anali kanisa kuyela kuyina. Ndipo mulungu anachabwirako usana ndimao anachicha usiku ndipo panali madzulo ndipo panali mmawa kuyamba ndipo anati mulungu pakare tambo pakati pamadzi lilinganise madzi ndi madzi mulungu anapanga tambolo nalinganisa madzi anali pansi pa tambolo madzi anali pamwamba pa tambolo ndipo kunatero. Ndipo mulungu analitsa tambolo kumwamba ndipo panali madzulo ndipo panali mmawa tsiku lachiwiri. Ndipo anati mulungu madzi apansi pa kumwamba asonkhane pamodzi pamayi amodzi kuoneke mkwiyo ndipo kunatero. Ndipo mulungu adalitsa mvulawo tsiku lapanga kusonkhane kwa madziko ndipo adatcha nyanja. Ndipo anaona mulungu kuti kunali kwabwino. Mulungu ndipo anati dziko lapansi limene mauso lilili lobala mbewu ndi mpengo wa zipaso wa kubala zipaso monga mwa mtundu wache momwemo muli mbewu yache pa dziko lapansi ndipo kunatero. Ndipo dziko lapansi linamera kuti lilili lobala mbewu monga mwa mtundu wache ndi mpengo wa kubala zipaso munga muli mbewu ya mtima munga mwa mtundu wache. Ndipo kunaona mulungu kuti kunali kwabwino. Ndipo panali madzulo ndipo panali mmawa tsiku lachitatu. Ndipo mulungu anati pakhale zowunikira pa thambo la kumwamba zakulekanisa usana ndi usiku zikhale zizindikiro ndi nyengo ndi masiku ndi zaka zikhale zowunikira mthambo la kumwamba kuti ziwunikire pa dziko lapansi ndipo kunatero. 16. Ndipo mulungu anapanga zowunikira zazikulu ziwiri chowunikira chachikulu chakulamulira usana chowunikira chaching'ono chakulamulira usiku ndi nyenyezi zomwe. Mulungu ndipo adayika zimenezi mtambo pa kumwamba kuti ziwunikire pa dziko lapansi nizilamulire usana ndi usiku nizilekanise kuyera ndi mdima. Ndipo anaona mulungu kuti kunali kwabwino. Ndipo panali madzulo ndipo panali mmawa tsiku lachinayi. Ndipo anati mulungu madzi abale zochuluka pamoyo zoyendayenda ndi mbalame ziwuluke pamwamba pa dziko lapansi ndi pamlengalenga. Mulungu ndipo adalenga zinsomba zazikulu ndi zoyendayenda zamoyo zakuchuluka mmadzi mwa mitundu yako ndi mbalame zamapikoyo yonse munga mwa mtundu wache. Ndipo anaona mulungu kuti kunali kwabwino. Mulungu ndipo anadalisa zimenezo nati zibalane zichulukane zizadze madzi a nyanja ndi mbalame zichuluke pa dziko lapansi ndipo panali madzulo ndipo panali mmawa tsiku lachisanu. Ndipo adati mulungu dziko lapansi likhale zamoyo monga mwa mtundu yawo ng'ombe ndi zokwawa ndi zinyama za dziko lapansi monga mwa mitundu yawo ndipo kunatero. Ndipo mulungu anapanga zinyama za dziko lapansi monga mwa mitundu yawo ndi ng'ombe monga mwa mtundu wache ndi zonse zakukwawa pansi monga mwa mitundu yawo. Ndipo mulungu anaona kuti kunali kwabwino. Ndipo anati mulungu tipange munthu chifanizo chathu monga mwa chikhalidwe chathu alamulire pa nsomba za mnyanja ndipo mbawa meza mlengalenga ndipo ngombe ndipo dziko lonse lapansi ndipo ndipo zokwawa zonse zokwawa dziko lapansi Mulungu ndipo adalenga munthu kuzachi uchifanizo cha Mulungu adamlenga iye adalenga iwo mwamuna ndi mkazi Mulungu ndipo anadalisa iwo ndipo adati kwa iwo mumbalane muchuluke muzazi ziko lapansi muligonjese mulamulire pa nsonga za mnyanja ndipambalane za mlengalenga ndipo za moyo zonse zakukwawa pa dziko lapansi 29 ndipo adati Mulungu taona zakukwawa mbewu ndipo pa dziko lapansi ndi mitengo yonse mmene muli chipati cha mtengo wakubala mbewu chizakhala chakudya cha inu amen. Let us see the divine, the sovereign decree of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign decree of our God in how He creates the world. I can see on verses 4, God separates the light and the darkness. And verses 7, God separates the waters. And again, God separates the night and the day. The night and the day. And again, God made different creatures of different creatures. He separates everything. Our God is a God of election. He separates and He does what He wills. Let us look in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon here in Malawi, morning elsewhere, because this tremendous time of gathering, of worshiping Christ and Him crucified, we need you, Father, to speak unto your people. Do whatever you will so that it should praise you. We worship you, Father God, because of Brother Ken, who is to preach. Uphold him with your spirit so that he might preach the oracles of you, mighty living God. The things that we cannot understand on our own, unless it praises you, Father. It is in the name of Jesus that we worship and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Ken, look to God. Look to Brother Ken, it's your time. Take the microphone and start preaching unto you, unto the people that the Lord have given unto you unto this time.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 2. And my text is from verse 22 down to verse 36. And I want to speak with you on the death of the Lord Jesus. The death of the Lord Jesus.
Since I've learned my Bible at home, I should read chapter 2, Micah 22, Luke 30, Tianganaza, Infa, Yambuya, what Jesus Christ.
Now, this is a subject that for those that the Lord has raised up to preach the gospel is their constant message. We have no other message than this concerning Christ and His death. When I have mentioned that before to some people that are preachers, not necessarily God sent, they are amazed to think that somehow every time we preach, that is to be the subject. They will argue that there are many other subjects in Scripture, but I will tell you, as we study the messages of these that God sent forth to preach the gospel, the apostles, they had this habit of taking the Old Testament scriptures and from them doing nothing but preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and His death.
Ntambiri, ama ganiza ngarudia mbukulu wa katoliga, mwene mitu ya padila padela, ya utengu wa mename ni gila kula ligira. Kwa sazi ya kutimudu unu liwose, mbukulu na liwose, limeneli mpaipro edhiri, kuchanga wakendu umozi, njibondu wala ligira za Yesu Kristu. Njibuti kwa wana mchipanganu chakale, mchipanganu cha sabano, antamena mrenga mahao kuchoka mchipanganu chakale. Sama pesa mwema puzilo e, nangade mitu ya mpuzilo e, nauda zila ligira, kukosa kula ligira za Yesu Kristu.
So not only is this the only message that those who are sent of God preach, but secondly, it's the one message that glorifies God himself, gives him praise and glory. Thirdly, it is the only message that brings comfort to the hearts of those that God has chosen and called by His dear Son. If you want to find out who are truly the Lord's sheep, then make this your message. Consistently, continually, every time. What it does is draws out the Lord's sheep because they will rejoice in hearing of Christ exalted, and it will separate out the rest. They'll go away. If we want a pattern of how it is we're to preach the scriptures, then right here in my text in Acts 2, verses 22 to 36, we have an example given by the Apostle Peter himself. Now many times when you announce the text Acts 2, people think, oh, he's going to be preaching on speaking in tongues. Certainly in this chapter, it was on the day of Pentecost when God poured out His Spirit and these Galileans began to speak, not gibberish, but in languages of other nations, so that those that had come from those nations could hear the message of Christ in their native language. What we find here is that the Apostle Peter did not stand up to preach about the gift of tongues or
languages.
But rather, he used this occasion of the pouring out of the Spirit to point the hearers to the one that the Spirit declares, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that even now as I preach, those to whom the Lord has given an understanding in English are hearing this message clearly in their language, but those that He has given that tongue or language in Chichewa are hearing the message in their language, just like on the day of Pentecost, but the subject is Christ and Him crucified.
Chimodzi anda kudzikola ku Malawi amena madziwa kizhewa akuzivwa asukira nkuroje mudziko lawo la kizhewa kumuko koko ndekula mkula ndi mzina nkubezo sopano malilime ozali kula mkula za chilendo ai.
Now the first thing here in verse 22 that we see about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he was a man approved of God. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, and what's the very first thing he speaks? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So the first thing that is vital in declaring the one who died is to declare who he is. When it says a man approved of God, that means that it was God the Father himself that sent this one into the world. Now the reason that Peter calls him Jesus of Nazareth is because there were many people that were called Jesus in the day. So he is speaking with precision here, using that name of derision, because people said, well, can anything good come from Nazareth? But that's how Peter began this message, pointing his hearers to that one that was disapproved of men, but approved of God. Now there are many that like to put the emphasis on the miracles and the wonders and signs that he did. And many today are out in the world who try to recreate what our Lord Jesus Christ did as if they were men approved of God by what they do. So what's clear from this verse in verse 22 is that Christ's purpose in doing the miracles and the signs and wonders wasn't to try to draw a crowd to himself, but it says here, which God did by him in the midst of you. This was a testimony of God's approval upon this one, Jesus of Nazareth. That's because the Old Testament scriptures spoke of the Messiah who was to come and said that when he would come, the lame would walk and the blind would see. And that would be the evidence that he was indeed the Messiah, the Christ.
Kuliko adziwike kuti Yesuyo ndi wamalemba amene chipangano chakale chidamulankhula ndi pakati achita zodabwitsa zonse zimene adazichita. Chifukwa chipangano chakale adanena kuti kudzabwera Mesiya amene adzaukitsa akufa, adzachiritsa odwala. Ndiyeno kuti adziwike adafunika apange zimene zichitonipereka akangomzindikira kuti ndi ameneyo amene wabwera amamulankhula kaleyo.
An important first point for us to know that this Jesus of Nazareth was one approved of God, not only in his coming, but in every aspect of his life, his doing, his dying, and rising again. Every part of who he is was approved of God the Father.
Chimwe chimodzi chimene anthu tonse tiyenekera kuchidziwa ndi kuchikhulupirira ndi kuchivomereza kunena kuti Yesu Khristu choyamba ngochokera kwa Mulungu po moyo wake wonse, machitachita ake wonse, mkufa kwake konse, ngakhale kuuka kwake, zonsezo zinachitidwa monga mwa mphungo oyikidwatu, monga mwa kufuna kwa Mulungu mdongoso lakalekale.
Three times during his earthly ministry, God the Father caused his voice to be heard and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So even though wicked men took him and crucified him and slew him and disapproved of him, yet in every way he was a man approved of God. He was God's man. Now the second thing here in this portion concerning the death of the Lord Jesus is that it was according to God's eternal purpose and will. Notice in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. When it says the foreknowledge of God, it's not simply that God looked down and saw what men would do unto him. Notice it is in connection with the first part, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The reason God knows all things is because he has determined beforehand all things that come to pass. So, it's not just that God looked down through time and saw what men would do, but rather, he already predetermined what should be done. So even though men by wicked hands took and crucified and slew him, yet they could do nothing more or less than what God had already determined before should be done.
See,
many people, when they look at the death of the Lord Jesus, they think that men eventually overpowered him and crucified and slew him, otherwise he would have continued to live and to carry out his ministry. In fact, there are many that teach that had Israel accepted him and received him, that he would not have had to die. That's what they believe. He would have just set up his kingdom right then. But those that reason that way don't know the gospel. They don't know the word of God.
And once I am a Ganiza Modero, before the Saudi or Tingawabino, Saudi wa Mawamurungu.
What they have never seen, first of all, is their own lost estate, that in order to save sinners, it required the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to shed his blood in order that God be just, save those for whom he died.
But
not only have they not seen their lost estate, but they have not seen what is the very glory of God, and that is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished by his death. They like to preach up the love of God, that God loves everybody and somehow is going to forgive sinners, but we know that God is holy, and apart from this work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of those sinners that God purposed to save, there is no salvation. Not only was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ foreordained of God, but his resurrection, it says in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. See, men put him to death, but death could not hold him, is what we read here. God purposed and ordained not only his death, but his resurrection. But ask yourself, why couldn't the grave hold the Redeemer? There's only one reason, and that is that he actually bore the sin of his people in his body on the tree and cast it away forever into the depths of the sea. See, the way that many preach the death of the Lord Jesus today is that it was an attempt to save sinners. And so he really wants to save sinners by his death, but he can only save those who let him. But what we see in the scriptures concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it was successful, it was victorious, because God himself purposed that by this means he should put away the sin of that people for whom Christ died. How do we know that God was satisfied? Well, it says there in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In other words, God was satisfied. His sin was put away. And therefore, he raised up his son. So just as the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, so is those that God has saved. It's not that he looked down in time and saw who would believe. No, he determined beforehand those that he would save, and therefore Christ paid their debt. But the third matter concerning the death of the Lord Jesus that I find here in my text, verses 25 to 31, is that his death was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. Even if we didn't have today the New Testament scriptures, and all we had was the Old Testament, you could preach from Genesis all the way to Malachi in every message concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished by his death. In fact, that's the only way to read the Old Testament. That's the only way to preach the Old Testament scriptures. It doesn't matter whether we're in the Old or New Testament. It's still Christ and him crucified.
Jehovah,
And that's the example we have here in Peter's message, because it says in verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him. You see that? He's actually quoting from Psalm 16. If we took the time to go back to Psalm 16, these verses, 25 to 31, are exactly what Psalm 16 declare. Here's the example that the scriptures are about him. They're about Christ. Not subjects that people like to preach on, but Christ. So, when it says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Who did David see but Christ exalted already?
Chifuwa kuti ndinaona ambuye pamasopanga nthawi zose, chifuwa alipadzanja langa lamanja kuti ndingasinthike. Nindani amene David adamuona, adaona Yesu Kristu kale kale alipadzanja lamanja la Mulungu mulemerero wake.
But here's the amazing thing as we read that, because even though David wrote these words, yet they are the words of Christ. These would be the words that our Lord Jesus Christ would have prayed while he was on this earth, addressing them to his Father. See, David here was speaking the words of Christ when it says, I foresaw the Lord always before my faith in every aspect of Christ's earthly life. When he came to this earth, he had his face set toward his Father. So when he says, for he is on my right hand, he was looking to his Father, who was all his glory, that I should not be moved. It was the Father by his Spirit that sustained our Lord Jesus Christ in every temptation that he faced as a man, yet without sin. It was the Father keeping him. So when we read in verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, on the one hand, we could read this as David's hope, that it was this view of Christ that caused his heart to rejoice even before Christ came into the world, and that he should lay down his life with that hope. When it says, my flesh shall rest in hope, he's speaking of his death. Hope of what? Hope of the resurrection.
David
But again, keeping these verses in their context, what David was expressing were the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, that he rejoiced, and his tongue was glad in that everything he did for the glory of his Father, and it was with that hope that he died. He died with this hope of God the Father raising him up again, as is said in verse 24.
Mauto amena malankula tangi apa adali mau amena Yesu Kristo adala nkule ali mchikola pansi mtobe unena kuti mtima wake unenekera kukondwera komaso lilime lake linenekera kusangalala chifukwa cha imfa imene akakhale nayo ndi chiukitso chake chimene ati akakhale nacho atakafa ndi adali ndi chiyembekezo cha moyo.
Now the reason we know that this scripture from Psalm 16 pertains to Christ's death and resurrection is because of what we read in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. In hell there actually the word is a word which means in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
Chapter 16 amalankhula za Yesu Christ David pamenepa zikuonekera mu ndima ya 27 imene kuti pakuti simudzasiya moyo wanga ku hade mawoti hade amatanthauza kumanda kamena simudzapereka woyera wanu aone chivundi.
Now we know that when any of us die, this flesh is going to see corruption. But here, with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, when he had finished the work and laid down his life and was 3 days and 3 nights in the grave as he said it would be, God raised him up again because it wasn't possible. That's what we see here. Thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine, notice, thine Holy One. That can only be pertaining to Christ, to see corruption.
In
no way, at any time, did our Lord Jesus see corruption. He bore the sin of his people, but he was not made a sinner. He died as the sin bearer, but he did not die as a sinner. In every way, he was that man approved of God. The sacrifice of himself that he offered to his Father was a perfect sacrifice, without blame, without blemish. So complete was that sacrifice that God could not leave him and would not leave him in the grave. God raised him up again as proof that sin of those that Christ represented had indeed been put away. And so, these words in verse 28, though spoken by David, really pertain to our Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance.
And
For the Lord's, as David was, we could read that as pertaining to our hope, that just as Christ died and rose again, we acknowledge that that death was on our behalf, and that even though we die physically, we look forward to the resurrection of these bodies and to life and to seeing our Redeemer face to face. We could say that's our hope.
Yes,
but the only reason any of us could have this true hope is because of what Christ accomplished. So even here in verse 28, these are the words of the Lord Jesus, where he said, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life." Christ could not have risen again from the grave had he not fully accomplished the ways of God, everything that was necessary to bring life. What was the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ that upon his resurrection, he would, in ascension, he would see with joy the countenance of his Father? Think of God being pleased with his work and him ascending back into the presence of the Father. So here we see Peter taking the Old Testament scriptures, Psalm 16, and declaring unto them Christ and him crucified. And so that there would be no doubt that this scripture pertains to him, that's where we read in verse 29 down to verse 31, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." So in other words, this didn't pertain to David.
But
notice verse 30, "Therefore being a prophet," that is David, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." So even David, though the Spirit of God directed him to write the scriptures that he did, he himself knew that it was not about him, but it was about this seed that God would raise up, even Christ, the Christ, to sit on his throne.
So for David, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you, zonse zimene akaona Davide amaona za Yesu Kristu ndifake iye adafa kodwa kuti sizimakamba za iye koma za Yesu.
Now here's an important matter right here before we read verse 31, and that is that many people believe that the Lord Jesus came the first time to save a people, but now he's in heaven waiting to come back and reign as king one day. They say that he's a king in waiting. In other words, he still hasn't taken the throne as prophesied. But what is verse 30? He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, and then keep reading. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. What it's saying is that according to God's purpose and will foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, everything's been fulfilled. There's nothing left to be done. Christ is reigning right now. It was when he was raised from the grave that everything that had been promised concerning David and that seed that should sit on his throne was accomplished.
And
that's why we read in verse 32, this Jesus, comes right back to who he is, hath God, God the Father, raised up, and he says, whereof we all are witnesses. How do we know this is true? Well, Peter's writing as a witness of these things. He was there. So we've seen how Christ was a man approved of God. Secondly, how he died according to God's eternal purpose and will. And thirdly, how everything about his death, burial, and resurrection was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures before time. One final point here in verses 33-36, and that is, the death of the Lord Jesus was approved and accepted of God the Father. That's why we don't look anywhere else for acceptance. It's in his Son and what he accomplished there at the cross. It says in verse 33, the conclusion, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, that's where Christ is now, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Peter's explaining why it is that God the Father poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
abatuti kuona chifukwa chenicheni mmene Atate Mulungu adatsanulira mzimu pa tsiku la Pentecost.
It wasn't that the people were praying for this, like you see today, they're trying to get the Spirit to do something, and so people pray for the gift of tongues and all of this. That's not what occurred. The reason it says here that God the Father poured out His Spirit, because it says that the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The reason was that men might know that God the Father has accepted His Son and His sacrifice, and therefore has received Him back into His presence, into glory. And Peter makes it clear in verse 34, it wasn't about David, for David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. There's no sinner that has any hope of glory unless it be that when Christ died, He died for that sinner. And when He rose again, that sinner rose in Him. And when He ascended on high, that sinner rose and ascended on high with Christ and is seated with Him in the heavenlies. Other than that, there is no salvation. When it says there in verse 34, the Lord said unto my Lord, that's the Father speaking to the Son, sit thou on my right hand. That is the place of honor and authority. That's where Christ is. Had the Father not been pleased with the work of the Son and accepted His work, there's no way He could say to Him, sit thou on my right hand. But also the fact that it says, sit thou on my right hand. The fact that Christ is seated means the work is complete. There's nothing more that needs to be done to the satisfaction of God the Father to save those people that the Father gave Him. And it says He'll remain there until He makes His foes His footstool. Verse
35.
When you see the word foes there, don't think in terms of those that He will ultimately condemn. That is true. They will be cut off. But think of ourselves, who were rebels against this very Christ. And yet, in grace, He brings us to bow. He's going to have everyone for whom He paid the debt.
Hmm. kifuwa mbadala na mulungu anali wochimwa ndetse walada watenga kukaika ku mapazi kutazi kugwada kulangira Yesu yo ndiye labara ntonza pakuti kaika atanya ku mapazi nikaika zvosankidwawo kurazika kugwadira iwe yazika kulambira tsopano.
And so the Father has given all things in the hands of His Son. His Son rules and reigns, and He does so until every last one is brought to bow, whether in grace or in judgment.
Amen. You know,
that's how we see then that the death of the Lord Jesus pleased the Father and was accepted of Him. And so verse 36, therefore, when you see that, that's a conclusion. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly. See, every word's important here, that God hath made that same Jesus, that one that they denounced, yet made Him whom ye have crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. This is the message that God is pleased to bless for the calling out of those sinners for whom Christ died. And what a rejoicing that we have to preach this message of Christ and Him crucified. Let's remain encouraged ourselves as the Lord has placed each of us in a different part of the field. But it is to declare this one with whom the Father is well pleased. And we find out who the sheep are because those are the ones that He's going to draw through this message.
Alright,
I'll turn it back over to you, my dear brother.
Thank you very much, my dear brother. What a comfort. What a comfort. For sure, Christ and Him crucified, revealed in the scriptures to those He purposes to save before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
What a comfort. We'll just sing a song as we are closing the service. The Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Number 73. It blesses my soul to see myself a sinner, wretched, but blessed by God to be under His feet. But when I look to the genesis of my life, there is nothing good that I can point. There is nothing good that I can say. Lather, through the lugs, bringing it to my soul. But by grace and grace alone. Amen. Those let the
And bless my mind. How patient is the
my heart to fear, and it is the grace that my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. That very first hour, I first believed. That very first day, first hour, I first believed. Through different trials, toils, snares, and dangers, sicknesses, whatever, I have already come. It is grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home, to my home, because home is good. When you have been there 10,000 days, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing, but God's grace. No less days will sing God's grace than when we first believe. You're just looking forward for that day to sing God's grace like they are at home. When grace lead me there. Brother Ken, look to God in prayer as we are closing the service of today.
Gracious Father, I thank you for these moments that you've given us together in your word. What a blessing it is for us to hear from the scriptures your own testimony concerning your son, the Lord Jesus, and how you have accepted his perfect sacrifice once for all on behalf of sinners for whom he died. And the fact that even now we look to him and rest in him, rejoice in him. This can only be because of your grace toward us. And may we ever be made mindful of just how great that grace is, that you would purpose salvation for such wretches as we are. But I'm thankful to be of that number that can rejoice and does rejoice in Christ's finished work. And I thank you for these dear brethren that you have raised up there in Malawi and have sent forth to preach nothing other than Christ and him crucified. And we know by that you are calling out your sheep, those for whom Christ paid the debt, until every last one is brought to bow at his feet. Oh, what a glorious God you are, what a glorious Savior our Lord Jesus Christ is, and what a glorious work of salvation he has accomplished. And so we pray that you would fill our hearts once again, with the joy of him. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.